Hello there.
It's showtime, Mr. Funny Bones.
With your hosts, Tyler Kane and Alex Lyshow, this is Two Clowns and a Goat.
What's up? All right, so I want your reactions like right now while it's fresh. How was it?
Okay, so I saw A Star Was Born, and it was a last second decision today. I wasn't going to see it today. I had some friends going to see it, and they said, "Hey, come with us." I said, "Sounds good." So we rolled in there, and it's a very interesting movie for me to rate. Very, very hard to analyze.
Ooh.
You're going to love it. You are going to
really?
Love it. Yep.
Really?
Yep. 100% you're going to love it. It was very well done. Quality acting, quality directing, quality script. It was a well done movie. Like, it was a really good movie. But it just wasn't for me.
Really?
I don't know what it means. I don't know why I'm saying that. It wasn't my kind of movie. Even though I can appreciate how good it was.
Interesting.
You're going to love it, dude. I'm telling you right now, you're going to love it. It had shades of La La Land, just not as Hollywood-ish, not as showy, not as flashy as La La Land. And a little more dramatic.
It's interesting that you say that because, like, one of my ex-roommates went, he saw it yesterday, and he told me to go see it. He told me how great it was. And I keep seeing all these reviews about how good it is. Yep. But just watching the trailer, it doesn't seem like I would like it, to me.
It's very strange. Like, halfway through the movie, I'm like, I can't tell if I'm liking this or not. I mean, but it was really, really well done. Like, Gaga was amazing, dude.
That's so cool to me.
Gaga's real good. Like, she's talented, man. And Bradley Cooper, this is one of his best roles. I mean, a really phenomenally well-done movie, just not in my wheelhouse, that makes any sense.
No, I completely understand that. I've definitely had movies like that before. So, I'll have to go see it now, though, just because, like, two opposite ends of the spectrum there. I want to see where I'm going
to
fall.
It's a must-watch. You have to go see it. You have to go see it. It's just a good movie to talk about, so.
Okay. All right, well, yeah, well, that's cool. What else is going on?
I got my Xbox sitting right here on the counter, baby.
Are you down to play a few games after this?
I just got to unpack it and set it all. I don't have anything set up yet, so I'm going to have to download, set up my Xbox Live, so it might take a while. I'll probably just get on tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I forgot you probably had to download it. That's going to take a while for sure.
So it's a good day, though. It's in this huge brown box. I haven't even opened it yet. How's your week going?
In the world, completely underrated, because I had bronchitis like this past week, basically.
Oh, shoot.
Just been literally dying. And then today, I probably went to the doctor yesterday and got medicine, and I was just sitting there in class, this one giant, you know, blow my nose, and my ears just popped, and it was like I could actually hear, and it was amazing. I'm still like from like just popping my ears right there.
Oh my gosh, dude. You do sound kind of happy, man.
Yeah. I'm still a little congested. I just took some more decongestant, but I should be back to normal within a couple of days. Which I'm psyched about too.
Good, dude. Any developments with girls or anything? Any good classroom interactions?
No, not at all. So there's this one girl I'm in a group project with in my international marketing class. Yeah. But there might have been like, okay, we might have something here. But she's in this, what's her major? It's music business major. And she found another guy in there who's a music business major. And I got hung to dry. It was crazy.
What happened?
Like, we used to, like, talk pretty frequently, like, before and after class. Like, I sit in the row in front of her. I used to turn around and chat. And then now that guy just sits next to her, and it's like I would like start a conversation. Like, it's happened like the past two times. Like, I'd start a conversation with her at the beginning of class. He'd come in and sit down, and then I just get like phased out, like over the span of like two little conversation circles, and I'm out. I'm just like, this sucks.
Dude, TC, that's brutal, man. That's brutal. That harkens back to one of our early Mount Rushmores, like awkward things, like
yeah.
You could put that on there just when you get phased.
You definitely could when you get phased out of the conversation.
And you're looking around like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, you're like, do you want to just see me like get slowly socially outcast of here? I hope not.
Well, hey, keep your head up. You'll rebound. You'll rebound.
Oh yeah.
I'm imagining this guy's like a frat star.
Dude, he's so short. That's what's so annoying. He's like 5'4". I hate it. I'm just like, oh, because this guy wants to sing. He's better than me. This is such a joke.
Well, persevere, dude. Okay, so I want to bring this up because I'm sure you saw this. Did you see this whole Banksy thing?
Yes.
Dude, TC, this is like Ocean's 11 stuff. This story, when I woke up, I think it was Sunday when it came out, I was absolutely thrilled with it. It was such a fun story. It was like it was straight out of a movie. It was crazy, man.
We're talking about the shredding pain, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I saw someone like, gosh, I think it was on Reddit. Someone put together a GIF of that. But the painting was that, like that picture of Kramer. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I have it right here in my apartment.
It was that, and it cuts like this little Seinfeld clip. And I'm like, this totally would happen in Seinfeld. Like, it's amazing,
dude. It's really whoever this Banksy guy is. I mean, there's a lot of theories. I heard one of them is like Banksy is like a group of people, like two or three or four people, and. Because no man could pull it off alone and stuff like this. And then I hear stuff like that he's like this secret guy doing graffiti and all this stuff. And apparently there's a documentary on him that I need to watch. But this guy, I think he's a genius, man. I think he's a genius.
He's got to be.
I mean, he sells his painting for $1.4 million. Okay? And then... the craziest thing to me is that it doubled in value overnight. And
once it was shredded.
Yeah, it doubled in value. And some people are saying it's triple in value right now. And I'm thinking, if the legend of Banksy keeps growing, this thing could be worth $10, $15, $20 million. They're saying it's like art history. It's like crazy.
I don't understand how... Like, how does that happen? Like, just the weird value people put on art in general is pretty strange.
Yeah.
And then now because this guy shredded his painting, oh my gosh, that's like quadrillion million dollars worth now.
Dude, the art market is so weird. I can't get my finger on it. But, like, I was talking to someone. They were talking about the Mona Lisa. And they were saying, I mean, think about the Mona Lisa. It's probably the most valuable painting in the world, at least in the top three or whatever. I don't know my paintings, but... He was saying that the Mona Lisa didn't really skyrocket in value until it was stolen from the museum, found again. I think it was stolen a second time. And that all that like extra stuff was what really sent the value through the roof. Because, I mean, you look at the Mona Lisa, it's not the most beautiful painting.
No.
But it's got the highest value. It's crazy, man. It's really fascinating.
Is it similar to Sam Bradford?
Oh, geez. What is this going to be?
I mean, he looks good in college. Drafted number one overall. I can't remember his rookie season. He had like a few good games, then he got injured. And then he came back, he got injured again, gets traded, gets a bigger contract, re-injured. So they're like, he's never hit his true potential. You know, he's going to hit his true. So they just keep giving him more money for different teams. It's similar, right? There's a connection.
I like that a lot, TC. That's smart. Right off the cuff.
Nice. So Sam Bradford is art.
I like it. Okay. Dude, we need a website so we can put all these stupid takes on just like headlines. Like, this is what we talk about.
Sam Bradford is an art.
But also, what if, I was thinking, what if, because you've heard about like the Elon Musk One Moon project.
Yeah, yeah.
And how that Japanese guy is going to bring 6 or 7 artists to fly around the moon with him, and then they all come back and make art. About the other side of the moon, which I think is amazing. Like, it's
yeah, so I do too.
Cool that we're living in a time that they can do this. What if Banksy is invited, but to remain anonymous, he puts like a mask on or a bag over his head.
Oh my gosh.
And he goes around the moon and he comes back, or she, and makes some crazy art that is just legendary, like one of a kind, one of the craziest art pieces ever, and it just, it's worth tens of millions of dollars. Wouldn't that be insane?
That would be so cool.
So I thought it was a great story this weekend. I really was fascinated with the whole thing.
Oh yeah, same, me too.
So
okay, so let's do a quick college update real quick, because
okay, let's do it.
Not that much. You got hardcore exposed by Florida. Yep. I don't think they're going to be able to recover from this. That's why the AP rankings are always so bad, because they were 5th in the country. No. So Georgia's probably going to handle them pretty easily. It might be a game at halftime at the best for LSU, and then they'll fall apart. Oklahoma also got exposed. Their horrible defense finally caught up to them.
Texas is back.
Dude,
Ellinger's good.
He looked really good. I'm not going to lie, because he looked really, really good that whole game. Up and down guy. But I'm glad he played well on the biggest stage, because, like, I'm not a big Big 12 fan, but it's the Red River Shootout. You have to love it.
It was an awesome game. It was absolutely. It was one of the best games of the year for college football.
Oh, I mean, for sure.
It was so good.
I'm telling you, Colin Johnson, number 9 for Texas, is going to be so good in the NFL. He's like the next Calvin Julio type caliber of player.
Jeez, dude. That's bold.
No, I'm telling you, he is. It's just
I like it.
I can just see it. Michigan is currently sitting at 11. They play they play Wisconsin this Saturday. Who I believe is like 12. So that's going to be one of those horribly overranked games. Whoever wins it is going to jump in the rankings
and neither of them
be complete trash. Yeah, neither of them are good. Did you see the Kentucky game at all?
No. Who'd they play?
Kentucky played Texas A&M to remain undefeated. And
no way. I missed that.
Yeah. So Kentucky was undefeated going into this week. I was not buying they were any good, just because I don't really ever buy the Kentucky's any good.
Okay.
But I want them to stay unbeaten, just because that doesn't happen for Kentucky ever.
Okay.
So it was an incredibly low-scoring game. I believe Kentucky led at one point 14-0. And then A&M came back and tied the game. And so to take it to overtime, Kentucky was able to drive it down and kick a field goal, which looked really good for them. In overtime, they get the ball first, and on a 4th-and-2, they have Benny Snell, the best running back in Kentucky history, and they call a timeout, come back out, and have a quarterback throw a reverse pass to a wide receiver, and he gets tackled behind the line of scrimmage. And then A&M just goes and scores the next play.
Oh my gosh, I just don't get it.
They choked that. I don't understand it either. Because that, like, it's so weird how, like, because you had, you know, this happen. You had the 4th down call with Penn State.
Yeah.
And then this week we had Jason Garrett, Deshaun Watson, you know, Frank. Like, it all happens at once. It seems like all these horrible 4th down decisions.
Yeah.
Especially on the big stage. So the dream is dead. Georgia will definitely win the East pretty easy. And then Alabama is really, really, really good.
They are.
Because I sent you those pictures of Tua's stats. It's literally like you couldn't play Madden on easy. and get this kind of stats that he's getting. I mean, he completed 10 passes, threw for over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns in 2.5 quarters.
It's just insane, unbelievable, dude. He's really ridiculous.
Our defense did get hardcore exposed. It was hard to believe they were really that good with as many people we lost, but it was just because we haven't been playing anybody. Yeah. Arkansas came out. They scored 31 on us. That doesn't happen ever. Yeah, they scored 31 points. I mean, we won by 38, which is also pretty insane that even happens with us as well. But I'm glad it happened. It'll give Saban something to focus on. Yeah. We need to grow all that stuff.
I'm telling you this, dude. I don't see anyone beating Bama. It's just
I really don't either,
dude. I mean, this is they've had some good teams before. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's just crazy on offense. It's crazy.
It's hard to believe we're ever gonna Georgia is the only team I can see us having to play full 4 quarters. I don't see it happening against Clemson. I don't see it happening against Ohio State. I mean,
dude, when you look at Fromm versus Tua, there's no way Fromm is able to run the sprint with Tua. I mean, Tua's throwing 4 touchdowns a half.
No.
I can't keep up with that.
And I mean, like, you want to – I mean, just the quality of their competition in general, they're not playing any more difficult teams. Georgia still hasn't played anybody, like, any more different than we have. Yeah. So, yep. I don't think there's going to be – it just brings us back to the championship game. I mean, if Tua plays the whole game – were we ever going to be behind?
No. I mean, dude, we couldn't stop him.
So pretty much the only game on our schedule is going to be the SEC championship game, probably for both teams, honestly. So that's going to be good to look forward to.
Because LSU's fake. Auburn is a disaster.
They're so bad. Coming. I know. Losing Kerryon hurt their team so much. They cannot run the ball. They cannot do any of the weird screens that get them to move the ball. It's so embarrassing.
I'm starting to worry about Stidham. I was in love with him week one against Washington, and now the dude doesn't win.
I know. So, I mean, it's hard to say because he doesn't have an offensive line, and his receivers really aren't good either.
Yeah.
But he's still not making very many plays. Well, I mean, it was embarrassing, the Mississippi State game. So.
I mean, Mississippi State's a joke.
Yeah. They couldn't even score a touchdown on them.
So, I mean, you look at the SEC, it's Bama, Georgia, and then who is it? Is it Florida?
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. There's no one.
It's not Florida. There's no one else. There's a huge gap.
I still believe the second best or the third best team in the SEC is Texas A&M. And that's just because, Felipe Franks can throw the ball very long. So can Drew Locke, but they're not very good quarterbacks. Yeah. I think Kellen Mond is a pretty good quarterback. If he had any other pieces, A&M's defense has been bad for years.
Yeah.
And that's something Fisher isn't going to be able to fix. So, I mean, we still blew them out of the water and they almost beat Clemson. I mean, that's not easy.
Yeah. So if you had to pick the Final Four right now, this week, tonight, where do you see it going?
So Notre Dame is getting in. There's literally no way around it. They
still on the schedule.
There's not. I was really hoping Virginia Tech would be able to give them something. And it's so funny because if you look at did you see any of the stats from the Virginia Tech Notre Dame game?
I didn't.
Virginia Tech led in first downs. They led in third down conversions. They led in offensive yards. They led in first downs, defensive first downs allowed. They led in literally every major category except for points. And they lost by 2 possessions. So it's literally almost impossible for that to happen, but it did. And there's no way Notre Dame is going to play. They play USC, who's trash. I think maybe UCLA too.
Trash. Have they won yet? Did they get a win yet?
They have not.
There's Chip Kelly for you. There he is.
Chip Kelly for you. Yeah,
what an offensive genius he is. What a fool.
So they're going to go undefeated. There's no way they're going to get left out, especially because they beat really good ranked teams, according to the AP poll.
So they beat Michigan, who's not good, and they beat Stanford, who should have lost to Oregon, correct?
Correct. And now they just beat mid-tier ranked Virginia Tech.
And now they coast. I will say, I like their quarterback.
I'm still not. I find it very hard to like anyone on Notre Dame just because I'm so biased. But, I mean, he's not bad. I guarantee you they're going to come in and do the exact same thing they did in the last BCS championship game. But they're very similar to Ohio State for me. I think even their quarterbacks are pretty similar.
Okay. I think Haskins is a bit overrated.
No, I definitely do too.
I don't think he's that good. Like, when I see don't him, think I'm he's, like, he's not that good.
He is no different to me than JT Barrett has been.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So,
like, bring in Tate Martell. Let's see something special.
So, yeah, I'm going to say, go ahead and say Notre Dame. Probably Ohio State, just because the Big Ten sucks.
Okay.
And then, I mean, Clemson's probably not going to lose a game either, unless Virginia Tech manages to beat them. But
I don't see that.
I put a lot of my eggs in Virginia Tech's basket, and they keep letting me down.
It's a letdown. I'm kind of done with it. It's a letdown. Jump ship.
Yeah. So
I would have this game, but I'd have Bama, Georgia. I think they're both going to make it in. Ohio State.
Really?
Ohio State, Clemson. Yep.
Okay, so you got Notre Dame out.
Well, I did until you presented it that way. Now it's kind of – I'm having a hard time coming up with a reason to keep them out because they really don't play anyone.
They don't, but they're going to have a good strength of schedule. I don't see the – and if you have an undefeated Notre Dame of name brand alone, there's no way the committee's going to be able to leave them out.
I think you might be right. I really don't.
So, I mean, I would love to see Georgia and Alabama both get back in it. But they're both going to be probably undefeated going into the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe if it's a close game and Ohio State or Clemson drop one, you might be able to make a good argument. But that's the only reason I could really see them slipping it by this time.
Okay. Fair. It's a fair point. Okay, sir. So, your Jets looked good.
So I'll go ahead and say this. Well, I'll go ahead and say two things. First off, we are so boring to watch on offense. there is really nothing exciting that happens. And then, cause there were five plays that won us the game. It was a hard Isaiah Crowell touchdown run.
Yeah.
Two kind of incredibly long throws to Robbie Anderson. A very nice couple plays by Marcus May and Jamal Adams in the first half that kind of just shut down any offense that they were going, and then huge stops by them on third down to shut down their drives. And then it was Case Keenum making an absolutely incredible throw on a fourth down conversion to the ground 20 feet away from anybody that got called for a intentional grounding. So we're so boring to watch, and then something incredibly it's what happened in the Lions game too. We have some huge play, score a touchdown, and it's just very strange offense. I don't like it. I hate it, really. But Darnold's still playing well. He's not making a ton of mistakes, so it's that's okay good. With me, I guess.
That's good. I mean, 34 points against that defense. I mean, their secondary's not great, but they do have the pass.
No, Chris Harris shut down Quincy Enunwa, which was Darnold's favorite target, which was their game plan going in. Let's make him throw it to a different guy.
Yeah.
And Robbie Anderson was finally able to do something, so it helped out.
Dude, so when I look at the NFL, the AFC is such a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at – I mean, the Colts are bad. The Broncos are bad. The Jets are bad. I hate to say it, but it's true.
It's true.
Even the teams that you think are they could get hot at the right time and be decent down the stretch, like the Titans, the Dolphins.
Oh my gosh.
The Bengals. Like there's all these teams that are in the same category for me. The Chargers, the Texans. It's just like these teams, they're all horrible. They're all so bad. The Titans are so bad. I don't get how they're 3-2 or whatever.
And I have this in bold. Vrabel has to be done. I can't wrap my mind around how the Titans have completely – because I didn't think they could fall much farther than they did under Mularkey, and they have flatlined.
I didn't get the Vrabel hire when it happened because – if you look at what he did with the Houston defense last year, he was like 30th in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in shambles. They couldn't stop anyone. And that was
like 2 years, like 2 or 3 years in a row of basically their defense carrying them to the playoffs after their quarterback got injured.
Yeah. And then he goes to the Titans, and I'm just like, what? This guy's a joke. He's there off his name alone.
I mean, so we want to give him a little bit of credit. The Titans defense did hold Josh Allen to 86 passing yards. Very, very impressive.
TC, I'm not in the credit business. As Cowherd.
But there's literally no – the Bills are far and away still the worst team in the NFL.
And yet they have two wins.
They have two wins off of two playoff teams, one of which was probably the best team in the NFC, we thought, and then now over the Titans. So I don't know what's going on, but something has – like, for years something has had to go or change in Tennessee, and it's still the same. I don't know what has to happen, but – gosh, it's got to happen soon.
I mean, I think there's something about Southern teams. I mean, think about it geographically. The Southern teams, they're horrible. The Dolphins, the Bucks, the Falcons. The Saints are good.
Saints are good.
The Texans, the Titans. It's just, what is going on in the South?
But, okay, so you're not a Bengals – I'm actually a Bengals believer right now. Are you not on the same page?
No. I mean, regardless of the record, and I mean, they've looked pretty good. They have looked pretty good. But at the end of the day, who's steering the ship? The beige
it's Andy Dalton.
Pistol.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Dalton. He's worse than Matt Ryan, and that's hard to do.
I mean – that's true. Their defense has looked a lot better than I thought, though.
That's fair.
And watching them play the Falcons a couple weeks ago, kind of, I mean, the Falcons played very well on offense. I don't know. I don't want to believe in the Bengals. I never want to believe in the Bengals. If it's gonna come crashing down, I think it comes crashing down against the Steelers game. Because yep. The Bengals Steelers game always brings out the worst in both teams. You just know what's gonna happen.
Never ever bet on Marvin Lewis.
I mean, I completely agree with that statement.
Never ever bet on Andy Dalton. I mean, it's just, I mean, you watched the game 2 or 3 years ago against the Steelers, where the game was over. They had won the playoff game.
Yeah.
The Steelers were eliminated, and then with about 90 seconds in the game, I don't know if I've seen a collapse like it since the Packers in 2015 against the Seahawks. They self-imploded.
Yeah. I've never seen – and it's not even they self-imploded on the field. It was, like, after the play was over, dumb fouls. That's all coaching stuff right there.
And then when you see that team, the cursed team who knows all they do is throw games away, go into Atlanta, and actually pull off a clutch drive, you realize just how bad the Falcons
are. Oh, yeah.
I mean, just DNA-wise, they just don't know how to close a game out. It's sad.
It really is. And all right, so I have like two more AFC points because I have a very long thing about the Falcons. Like I run you through this whole thing. Me and Arnaud worked out. Okay. But so staying in that division, did you see the Antonio Brown story today?
I did not.
Oh my gosh! All right, so this is really, really good. He threw an ottoman and a dresser 17 stories off his balcony and almost hit a child.
What?
And I saw that this afternoon in class, and I was trying so hard to – there's got to be some sort of joke I can make with this. There's got to be something funny to say. And I still just can't wrap my mind around, like,
what?
Why?
So you're telling me he threw it
off your balcony?
He threw an ottoman 17 –
Yeah, threw it 17 stories off his balcony.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking this up right now. This is rich, dude. Oh my gosh. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Antonio has always been, in my eyes, a stand-up guy, a team guy. He was flashy on the field, but always professional off of it. He's having a mental breakdown this year. What's going on with him?
I feel like him and Bell are very, like, a lot closer than they've been letting on. I think.
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't know. I think maybe he's starting to see the holes in Mike Tomlin's, gosh, can you call it coaching strategy? I'm not sure if it really is, but whatever he's got going on, he's seeing the flaws. He's seeing how little the organization cares about its star players, especially with Juju coming up. I think maybe he might see his end coming too, soon too. I don't know. Dude,
that, TC, that's spot on. That's a great take right there.
I mean, all right, so because I still think the best decision is to trade Bell. But do you think it's going to happen? Because I'm kind of getting the feeling it's not going to happen anymore.
I mean, they have to have it happen. They can't not get anything for him.
I can't not. And then, like, I see all these reports, like, at least once a week, like, Bell wants to stay. He's trying to work it out.
Oh, jeez. If he wanted to stay, he would have accepted the $15 million offer. He's out of there.
Because, I mean, James Conner played amazing last week.
Yep, he was good. And that's another thing. Like, the more Conner just is able to plug in and look good. I mean, he had 2 touchdowns this week. I think he had, what, 120 yards?
Yeah, he was running all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, the more he looks good, the more it just seems like it's the system and it's not actually Le'Veon that's the value there.
But, okay, I'm going to go ahead and we'll get this out of the way pretty quick. Blake Bortles played pretty decent against the Chiefs, no matter what anyone says. I don't know if you got to see the game or not.
I didn't see any of it.
Okay. I'm sure you've heard the Bortles, you know, hate already floating around. It's kind of everywhere.
Yep.
It's a non-story. Just move on.
You're such a moron.
Okay. He threw for 400 yards.
Okay.
Good stat line. The offensive line was absolutely garbage against a very bad Chiefs defense. So
yeah,
they still didn't really have a running game. They had a few flashes from TJ Yeldon in the first half, and they were playing catch up in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, it's a non-story to me. Pat not slow down for anybody. Like, they could not – the Jags defense really let them down in this game. I expected a lot better from them, and they did not show up at all.
Yep.
And I mean, Blake Bortles is not going to be – he's a decent starting quarterback in the NFL. I still believe that. He's not going to be the guy that's going to go out like Pat Mahomes and score points every single drive without any help from his running game or his offensive line. So, I mean, automatically, you're paying the defense all this money to stop people like this. They didn't do their job.
All I know is I did see one play from the game. I saw one play from the game, and it was the one where Bortles was running a screen and
non-story. Just listen.
And he threw it right to a big boy in the middle.
It was unlucky. It was also pouring rain. Not a whole lot of people are pointing that out. It was pouring rain. Hard to see. Hard to throw.
He's from Jacksonville. He should be used to the inclement weather.
Nonsense. Listen, you're overreacting to this. Just relax.
Hey, I haven't said anything about Bortles except for that play. I haven't thrown him under the bus.
But I mean, because I saw someone else say this. If you had said before the game that the Jags defense was going to pick off Pat Mahomes twice and not allow him to throw a passing touchdown, you'd have thought, okay, Jags are going to win pretty easy.
Yeah,
but they didn't. So.
I want to just briefly throw this out and bask in my glory of the Chiefs.
Okay.
Am I a clairvoyant or am I genius? I can't decide. Because we have it on tape, online, on record. And I have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And I'm feeling good about it. They toasted the Jags, dude. And that's probably the second best team in the AFC. If they get through New England, they're there. Like Andy Reid will be in the Super Bowl for the first time since like 2005. It's gonna be incredible.
That's true. And because I gotta give you a lot of credit because you called this and I called against it. So credit.
Thank you. I am in the credit business.
I do want to point out, and we've already kind of touched on this. This is how every single Andy Reid team starts off every single year.
They're I know.
5-0, 8-0, and they all crash and burn. So
this is different.
You also, this is different.
This is a different year. He's got he's got Showtime at the helm.
He's got Showtime. All right. So let's talk about the counterpoint to that. Your Packers pick. Because I am like my every week I see these stats about Aaron Jones, ridiculous yards per carry, and the amount of carries he's still getting. What is happening? I don't understand and it's making me angry as just not even a fan.
Imagine how mad I am about it. I have him on my fantasy team too, in both leagues. Okay, so here's my take on the pack. Rodgers looked horrible in the first half. He wasn't. Okay. He was missing throws. He looked bad. He deserves part of the blame. But he ended up with 450 yards in the air.
Really good.
And that's on he re-injured his knee on like one of the first plays of the game. So that's still on one.
Oh, really?
He's still not moving 100%. He's probably at 80%. They put up 550 yards of offense. Okay. They were down 24-0 at half. It was such a disjointed game. Three turnovers in their own red zone. So it was just atrocious. And they were down 24-0 at half. So here's why I'm not panicked. They're 2-2-1. They're right in the thick of things. But the offense is, it always starts slow every year. You get RELAX in 2014. You get run the table in 2016. The offense always seems to be disjointed through the first half of the season. And then it just, they just get the timing down. It takes one big game, one big week of focus, and they're back in. I'm not worried about the offense, even though it has looked abysmal. I'll touch on the Aaron Jones thing in a second. Defensively, I think we look pretty solid. If you take out the Kevin King punt fumble on the one-yard line and the two Rodgers fumbles inside our own 20, the defense, they gave up like 10 points. They slowed down Stafford. They were punting it all game. We're making plays on the defensive side of the ball that we haven't made since 2014. I'm feeling much, much better about the defense. I think Patton, however you want to say it, he's got them trending in the right direction. If we get the offense going for a full game and not just a half, we're going to be rolling. So I'm feeling decent about it. Here's how you get the offense going. I think this is the spark. The second McCarthy stops screwing around with a running back by committee and will commit to Aaron Jones as the leading back, we won't get any rhythm on offense. If you keep pulling him out of the game and putting in Montgomery and putting in Jamal, it's just so disjointed. You can't get any rhythm going. And every time we have Jones in, he'll bust 6-7 yards a carry. Every time he touches the ball, and he gets 6-7 carries a game only. We should be feeding him 14, 15, 16 times a game and bringing in Jamal Williams on third down at the goal line. It's just silly.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's so dysfunctional. So, but I'm feeling positive just because the defense is looking good, and I know the offense is coming around.
Okay, as a non-fan, I'm not worried just because you just learn not to disbelieve in Aaron Rodgers no matter how late the season it gets.
Yeah.
And they did. They still, showed they could beat the Bears Week 1, and that's still huge to me because
huge game.
Did you see the Rams game?
The Rams played the Seahawks. Yes, I saw that game.
The biggest 4th-and-1 call of the week to me. Oh, and, holy cow!
What a ballsy call!
What a call! Because you have Russell Wilson on the other side. The announcers are talking about it. Oh, Russell's done this so many times. You know that's going through Sean McVay's head.
Yep.
Calls the time. calls a timeout, gives it back to Gurley. I think that's a great call.
Hey, Al Davis said it back in the 80s. Just win, baby. I mean, if he gets stuff there, McVay's a moron. But since they got it, yeah, he's a genius. And I have to give him mad props. I mean, what a ballsy call. But
oh, yeah.
But it was such a good – it was a smart call, too. Because, I mean, you're on the road against the 12th man. It's so hard to win games there. Division rival. I mean,
and you're about to give one of the most electrifying quarterbacks in the NFL the ball back with over 2 minutes. Yep. So,
torching the defense all day. It was a great call. It was so risky, but it was also rational.
Yeah, and it was a call Jason Garrett did not make.
Yep, and he's been taking a lot of heat this week. It seems like It seems like I think the public opinion has always been kind of anti-Garrett, but I'm starting to worry if Jerry Jones is starting to maybe second guess him.
I think so. Like, do you ever think for some of these owners, they get to the point where they're like, you know, I'm just too old to really want to get another coach right now. I'd rather just not have to foster a whole new relationship with this new guy. Because I'll be dead in like 15, 10 years. I just want to see one guy ride it out.
That's not bad. It's not a bad idea.
I don't know. Cause like he's up there, man.
He's
and like with especially yeah. with his personality type, trying to find someone he likes, like that's gonna be impossible.
Yeah, and he's such a hard owner to work with because he's so vocal in the media. It's bad. Let me ask you this: how many more years do you think Jerry Jones lives? He's 75 right now.
Lives or is an active participating owner?
I don't know. Walk me through what you're thinking. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm thinking he's got billions of dollars. I think he can make it. I think he could stretch it close to another 15 years.
Wow, but, so he'd be 90.
But just the type of guy that I get from him in the media, I don't think he's going to want to give up. I think he's going to go out very, very Al Davis. So, okay. I give him another 7 max.
Okay. I think he'll be running that team, be active with that team until he dies.
Yeah, I think it's going to wear him out. I think it's going to wear him out.
And they'll bury him under the 50-yard line in Jerry World.
Put a flag.
Yeah, the baby right in
his grave.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so. I don't know how much of the game you watched last night, but there is almost nothing more boring than trying to watch Alex Smith lead a 30-point comeback.
I did not see one play of the game, so you had to fill me in.
Okay. The Redskins are really bad and never had a chance. And it was basically 3 quarters of watching them slowly realize that trading for a quarterback that is 4 years older than the one you had is marginally worse and paying him more money wasn't a very good decision.
I can't remember there, that.
I mean, just my favorite play from the night. It was – I stopped watching probably with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And by this point, they were down by 3 possessions. They were on, like, the 25-yard line in the red zone. And he had Jameson Crowder – he was pretty open on a post. And he threw it about – 10 yards short, straight into the ground. And they just cut to Crowder's face, and he's just got the most remarkable, stunned look underneath his face mask, looking back at Alex Smith. And I felt just kind of justified by that myself. So, he's just, like, just the Breeze is setting these records, setting the passing, the touchdown.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there throwing 2-yard passes to Chris Thompson over and over and over again.
Alex Smith, so, he's just not exciting to watch. He's just so mediocre.
So boring.
The sad part is they beat us by 3 scores a couple weeks ago. So
yeah, they did.
I say cheers to that. All right, so okay. What's this Falcons fury trade? What is all right. this?
So something is wrong with the Eagles. Their offense is – granted, it was historic last season, but they've definitely something's wrong. Yes. And so Ajayi is now out, torn ACL. And it started with me. I saw this one tweet. It was a Jags insider who moved back to Philadelphia. Now he's a Philly insider. And he was speculating that it would be possible, just based off the type of the players the Eagles go for, and just looking at trade partners around the NFL, Tevin Coleman to the Eagles wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. And so I was thinking about that, and I brought it up to Arnav. And we, so apparently there's this whole thing with a compensatory pick with Tevin Coleman. I'm not sure what it is, but
the there's Eagles a whole thing cleared with up. What?
Like, Tevin gets, they get a compensatory pick if Tevin leaves before this offseason.
Falcons do.
Yeah, the Falcons do. So,
what is that? Are you sure about that?
That's what he told me. I'm not sure.
Well, I think that's if he leaves in free agency.
Maybe it was that. I don't know if it applies for trades or not.
I don't think it applies to trades.
Okay. But, I mean, honestly, at least to me, I don't see Tevin Coleman being really that much different from Corey Clement, Darren Sproles, or Wendell Smallwood. I think he's of the same caliber player. Cleared up $11 million in cap space on Friday when they restructured it's like one of their tackles' contracts.
Okay.
I mean, Devontae Freeman is pretty much a better version of Jay Ajayi anyway.
Okay.
So the Falcons' worst positions right now, linebacker and interior defensive line. The Eagles' most depth is in linebacker and interior defensive line.
Oh.
So the Falcons' offense is suffering from the same thing as the Packers, this whole running back by committee.
It's awful.
I hate it. I mean, people see it work for the Saints and decide, oh, hey, let's do that too. And Sark, I mean, not Sark, Shanahan can make it work because Shanahan is the greatest offensive mind in football.
Yeah.
I mean, the Falcons offense did pretty well these past couple weeks when they just had, all right, Tevin Coleman's our guy. Let's just work with him. And now they bring Devontae Freeman back this week. He only gets like six carries. Coleman only gets like six carries. They give Ito Smith like four.
Ito's not no bad one, either.
Ito's not bad either, but no one's getting any rhythm. The offense doesn't know what they're working with. They're down in a hole. They don't know what to do, and then they collapse.
Yep.
So trading away one of these guys, getting someone to help you on the defense, fix your offensive problems, only having one running back you work with, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense.
I like it a lot. That's a really good prediction. That, I mean, all the pieces fit together. The needs match the strengths and the weaknesses, and that's good, man. The cap room, dude. I mean, this running back by committee thing is—I don't know why it's taken off so much, but I think it was Dilfer. I think it was Dilfer I was listening to, and he was talking about Seattle because they had the Chris Carson, Mike Davis, Rashad Penny hoot nanny going on out there, and I think it was him. But at one point, he goes, listen, you're not going to get any rhythm on your offense if you're cycling these guys in every play. Pick one guy, have a compliment back, the other guy comes off the bench.
I agree.
So
only thing I'd say about Seattle is I don't know if it's more of a running back by committee or, all right, well, this guy sucks. Is this guy any better?
Like, yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
So I feel like we basically talked that into existence this afternoon, so definitely look for that to break through pretty quick here.
I like that a lot, dude. I like that a lot. Okay, so are you good NFL-wise?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Let's talk briefly about the fight. Did you see it?
I did. I had that up on stream. I'm sitting there. I'm playing Fortnite. I'm watching this fight, and I'm just like – because it's hard for me. I never really kind of figured out where the scoring goes for MMA, boxing, whatever. Yeah. And so, but the ending is one of the greatest things I've ever seen on television.
It was awesome, dude. I mean, when that guy in the red shirt, like the camera pans out and you see the guy in the red shirt hop in the ring and just blindside Connor. It was like, wait, what? It was nuts, man. It was mayhem.
You, because like Conor McGregor has such explosive temper, attitude,
yeah.
And you've seen that, you know, the whole bus thing like last year. But you just can't throw a punch at someone as a professional fighter. You can't do it. You can't do it.
I know, dude.
Especially on national television. So I think they're like withholding that guy's money,
Khabib,
right?
Yeah, they haven't paid Khabib.
Yeah, they're holding Khabib's money.
They might strip his belt.
Yeah.
I don't think they
will. Actually like, it's like getting investigated by the police.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So,
It's bad, dude. It's bad. I think part of it is they're just going to drag this on just to build hype for the rematch, make more money and that kind of thing. But
and so, okay, so also, side note real quick. I actually paid more than $13 to get a haircut for the first time in my life last week.
Okay. Where'd you go?
I went to this, it's called Page Boy. All right, so it's called Page Boy Salon in downtown Athens.
Okay.
And they have like a salon side and they have like an old time barber side. And so I just made an appointment with one of the guys in the barber and it was like great. We spent the whole time just talking about like, you know, sports, NBA, NFL. And then he was talking to me about this fight. And he was like, you know, no one is talking about this fight. It's like, no one even knows it's happening. McGregor's probably not even going to win it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then this fight happened and no one really was talking about it. And then now, after the like everything that happened at the end of it, it just blew up in the news. And I honestly think it's probably good for MMA.
Oh, it's great for MMA. Everyone's coming out saying it was a horrible stain on their brand. What are they talking about? This is a fighting league. Like, this is not some peaceful, civilized thing.
Yeah, no one knew it was happening. That's only like almost at that point, any good news is good news. So,
yeah, I mean, it's great. So, dude, I had such an interesting fight night. It was.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So I was gonna stream it. I was gonna try to stream, and then I was like, "Screw this! I'm gonna go to Dave and Buster's all by myself and watch this thing so it doesn't break up." Like I was worried I was gonna not be able to find a stream.
Yeah.
So I roll over D&B's all by myself, and it says there's a $10 cover. I walk in. There's like this line of people waiting to pay, and I just walked right by. I was like, I'm not paying this. So I walked right in, and I go and I snag a seat at the bar, and I'm about 2 hours before the fight, so I'm just sitting there. And all of a sudden, the seat to my left opens up, and about 30 seconds later, this guy comes up and says, "Hey, is this taken?" I'm like, "Nah, it's all you." And I was wearing my SpaceX hoodie, because it's like 40 degrees up here, dude. And this guy sits down, he's like, "Hey, I'm Jeremy." I was like, "Hey, I'm Alex." And then this dude talked my ear off for 3 hours. And I'm not joking you. He talked about the same subject. I kept trying to change it. He just kept talking about Tesla. He's like, "Oh, I saw a guy. You were wearing a SpaceX hoodie. I had to come over. I had to introduce myself. Hey, I'm Jeremy." Blah, blah, blah. Motor mouth, dude. Nonstop for 3 hours. I couldn't get a word in. And then, I don't know if you saw the prelim fight with the big heavyweight dudes.
No, I didn't see that.
It was the best fight of the night. It was so good. With 13 seconds left in the fight, this guy knocks the other guy out. Just lays a big blow in this guy's face and knocks him out. I couldn't even watch because this guy's just like, just talking off my ear off. I'm like, what is going on here? Super nice guy. He was 40 years old. He had just bought a Tesla for $60,000. And he told me 3 hours worth of stories of him and his Tesla. It was crazy. And then at one point, somehow he ended up getting my number. He's like, "Bro, we gotta hang out sometime. Like, this has been great." I'm like, I can't say
you
no
gave him that. Your number?
He has my number. And he did it so slyly, too. He was telling me the story. He's like, "Dude, look, I got to show you this video. I went 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds. It was wild. Let me show you this video. What's your number?" And I was like, "Geez, I'm, like, caught up in this story. How can I not give my number?" Like, he's sitting there right next to me. He's about to send me this video. So he has my number.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like, "Dude, if you want to ever take it out for a spin." Yeah, man. So it was weird, bro. All
right. So I don't want to point this out, but I feel like I have to.
Yes.
Are you sure he wasn't hitting on you?
No, he wasn't, because that also went through my head. I was like, I don't think this guy's a creep. He did not give off gay vibes. And he was talking about all the trips he takes with his girlfriend. Like, he told me about, like, multiple girlfriends, so.
Okay.
But that was, That's the first thing.
That's so strange.
Because I was thinking, like, in this conversation, I was like, if he asked me, hey, you want to go take it for a spin after this? And I would have been like, like, I had an excuse in my head, like, ready if he said that. I was like, if this happens, I better be prepared, because I'm not getting in a car with that guy at 1 a.m. It's not happening.
Have you ever seen that It's Always Sunny clip, The Implication?
I haven't.
So their whole thing is they buy a boat, that way they can get girls on it. Because if they take the girl on the boat and, you know, they try to ask the girl for sex, the girl's not going to say no because of the implication. And so one of them's like, what do you mean, the implication? He's like, oh, you know, you're out on a boat with a strange guy. One thing leads to another. I mean, you're not going to say no, because you don't know what could happen. I mean, he could throw you off the boat. He could do something. Oh, and he's like, whoa, are we going to kill these girls? Like, no, we're not going to kill these girls. But they don't know that. It's just the implication. So
I got to watch this show. Everyone says this show is amazing. And I had it on my watch list for about 2 years. I haven't watched one.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the clip that got me hooked. And the first two episodes are absolutely – I was dying laughing.
I got to watch, man.
It reminds me of Jeffrey more than anything for some reason.
really? I'm going to love it, man. I'm going to love it. All right, so quick question about this barbershop you went to. What was it like in there? I mean, we're talking like a baba shop or like a barbershop?
So, let's see. All right, so you know where the Starbucks is downtown?
Yeah.
It's literally like two doors down from the Starbucks.
Okay.
It's right on the side of this bar. And you walk up some stairs, and then you're like at the salon reception area.
Okay.
And so this girl told me like, oh, yeah, take a seat. And then she came over to me like, do you want any water? I'm like, no. I was like, do you want any soda? I'm like, no. I said no more out of habit than anything, because after she walked away, I was like, man, you know, actually, water would have been cool, but I can't just, like, ask for it back.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't expect a drink when I came to get my hair cut. I'm sitting there, and then he comes by. This guy's name is Jamie. He's this really cool black guy. He's not gay, which was – I was like, all right, if I'm getting my hair cut by a guy, I know. I expected him because it's just awkward. I don't care. Call me what you want. I just don't like having a gay guy cut my hair.
It's true. It's freaks uncomfortable. Me out. They're touching your neck. Yeah. It's like, are you touching my neck more than other people's neck? It's very uncomfortable.
So he took me back. There's only two seats in the barber side. And one was like this really goth chick cutting this other guy's hair. And they were like having a grand old time. They were like, holy cow, they were having a party. And they're playing like this really... almost like kind of jazz rap.
But
the best way I could describe it, it was very like if I had to describe a modern barbershop, that's kind of music I would put in it. and so I'm sitting in the chair. The chair was great. It had this perfect like double footstool that I was just very comfortable. And you know, he was just chill the whole time. He was just talking about, you know, NBA starts next week.
Yeah.
You know, just all, it was just like, it was great. It was the best haircut conversation I've ever had.
Dude, that's TC. That's amazing. You only paid $13 for it?
No, this is the first time I've ever paid more than $13.
How much was it?
40.
40?
I know.
So now the question is, was it worth it? And are you going to do it again?
Honestly, yes and yes.
Dude.
So, first off,
good for you, man.
The haircut looked good. I was very, very happy with it. It's very rare I've ever gotten a haircut and been like, you know, that looks good. I'm happy with that.
So, what did he do to it? Did he take, like, the straight – like, I'm imagining, like, he takes, like, the razor and, like, scrapes your sideburns up and stuff.
See, he actually didn't, but on their website when I made the appointment, that's something they're adding this fall, is to have, like, a straight razor shave.
Oh. Huh.
Which is just kind of interesting to me. But – so – like, I don't know anything about cutting hair, but normally, like, when I get my hair cut, they spray my hair with water, they cut it with scissors.
Yeah,
it takes, like, 10 minutes, and then they're done.
Yep,
same. This haircut this haircut took about 20-25 minutes. He never sprayed my hair with water. He was like, you know, he had some clips to hold it one way while he cut, and then clips to hold it the other. He was using this weird comb and cutting it, and then doing, like, it was precise. It felt professional, and he was explaining everything he was doing to my hair and was using words I didn't understand, so I felt, like, psychologically better about it. And then I got to have just the cool, like, I actually went to the sink behind and got, like, some weird shampoo put in.
You felt got the great. Shampoo?
I got the shampoo. That was part of the haircut.
What is that like? I've never had that.
Oh, so I like the water temperature they use is just perfect. It's just the perfect blend of hot and soothing. And I tell you, having like your temple massaged is just a great feel. And so he's sitting there, he's massaging the shampoo in, and I feel cleansed. I feel fresh. My hair looks healthy. I left very, very happy.
Dude, TC, that is amazing. That's one of the best stories you've ever told me. Because I'm just imagining you walking into a barbershop and just being like, having no idea what to expect. Lady comes up to you and offers you water and you're thrown off. Like, what is, where am I? What's going on? And then you just get absolutely amazing haircut. You get the shampoo rub. The dude is cool. This is great.
It was like, I would definitely, because I can definitely see it going wrong, and I hate paying that much money for a haircut. It just sounds dumb.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking it might be one of the quality things that might be worth it, honestly.
You know, I've been debating about, because I'm like you. I go to Supercuts, I pay $16, $2 tip, and I just walk out of there, and every time my hair is just like, this looks awful. Like every time it looks awful. And I've got a lot of flack over the years. Go to a salon, go to a barbershop, pay a little more money. And I'm like, I'm Jewish, I'll pass.
Because
you might have just changed my mind.
I'm telling you, I honestly think I have to recommend it. And I've never, like, this is the first time in my life I've been in the position where, like, all right, I could afford to pay more money for this if I want to. And I finally decided to just give it a shot and see if it's worth the hype, and I think it was.
Dude, TC, I never, ever would have expected this from you. You're like the last person I would ever imagine going into a barbershop. This is great, man. This is amazing. I mean, I have nothing else to say. It's just amazing.
Okay. All right, so, shoot. Yona. I think that's a mountain. Yeah. We'll go Mount Yona. Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the Mount Yona of overrated movies.
Okay, sir.
All right. So just out of curiosity, how are you defining your overrated?
I'm defining it based off of basically, I don't know, like the consensual rating.
Okay.
From the masses of the population, I guess. I don't know.
I guess that's the general definition. That was a dumb question. All right. You kick it off.
Okay. All right. Number one on my Mount Yainai or whatever.
Yona.
Number one on my Mount Yona of overrated movies is Jurassic Park.
Oh my gosh. What?
Dude, Jurassic Park is a joke. I've watched that movie, the originals, and it's just, every time I watch it, I hear how great it is and how the story's great and how they grew up on this movie and blah, blah, blah. And then I get into it and I'm like, this sucks. The animatronic dinosaurs, it's so fake looking. I hate the kids in the movie. They're so dumb.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Goldblum's not even good in it. I don't even like Goldblum in it, and I like him in everything.
My gosh.
And then you throw that in with the new ones and Chris Pratt, and it just doesn't work.
All right, so the only ones I really like are the first one and the third one, but you don't even like those?
I don't like any of them. And also, speaking of the third Jurassic, we had a trivia question a couple months ago. It said, name like the five installments of the Jurassic Park series. You know what the name of the third one is?
Wait. Jurassic Park, the Lost World. I don't think I do, actually.
We got four of the five. We got one, two, and the two new ones. And we couldn't think of the third one. It's Jurassic Park 3. That's the name of it. And my dad actually was like, maybe it's just Jurassic Park 3. And we're like, stop being a moron, Dad. And then they read it out. It was like, in Jurassic Park 3. And we're just like, jeez. So anyways.
That's so weird. I'll agree they're not, like, and I guess that fits the criteria. They're not as good as everybody says they are.
They suck. But, they suck.
Man, okay, that's a controversial one. You went full throttle for this. I can respect that.
I'm shooting my shot deep today.
Okay. My number one for overrated is Forrest Gump.
Oh, that's mental.
Mental? dude. So, mental is a good word because, and part of this is for me, I hate watching movies about people that have some sort of medical infirmity or disability. It personally makes me uncomfortable. I hate watching it, and I don't know, dude. Just the whole movie is. I mean, Jenny's the worst, obviously. She's this horrible person. She's never going to love him. Over and over again, this happens. Captain Dan, I mean, the wheelchair guy with the mentally disabled guy running a fishing company. It's just not my
thing. It's a shrimp company.
Sorry. I just can't. I find it very hard to sit and watch that movie for more than 15 minutes without either getting annoyed or just angry for some reason and have to walk away. I don't see the appeal.
Your take on him has no legs. I mean, it's just, it's weak.
the whole box of chocolate, I hate it.
But
I hate it.
But the movie is so good. Like, I love how he's at every historical moment. Like, that's so cool.
I do think that's cool. That's all I got.
I can agree with Jenny. I can agree with the disabled thing, even though I think Tom Hanks pulls it off.
So. He does. And I can objectively see how people would say it's a good movie.
Okay.
I just still think it's overrated.
All right. That's actually a pretty good one. Okay. My next one is a movie that I have never heard anything bad about. All I hear is how funny it is, how great it is. And when I watched it, I didn't laugh once. Step Brothers. It's so bad. It's so
I agree with that.
Bad. I mean, when I ask people, what's your favorite comedy? I'd say a majority of people say Step Brothers. It's awful.
Because Will Ferrell has some good moments in, I think, a lot of movies. But whenever you see too much of Will Ferrell, the movie just, it just bottoms out.
Except for Elf,
yeah. Like, there's the, like, it's like they throw so much, like, dirty humor in the movie over and over and over again, which, like, can have its purpose, and then once it becomes oversaturated, you're just like, ah, come on.
Yep. It's just not a good movie. I didn't laugh at all. I didn't think it was funny. Number two on my list.
Okay. Number two on my list, and this is kind of a combo, and I couldn't really figure out how to differentiate it. And there are some exceptions. So I started off with Pulp Fiction.
Yep, I got it on mine.
You got it on yours?
Yep.
Okay, I put Pulp Fiction on there, and then / The Hateful Eight.
Okay.
And then just think about it more, / pretty much all of Tarantino's movies with, like, The Monuments Men. Is it The Monuments Men? No.
Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah. And I think he's got one more. No, it was Inglourious, but because I do enjoy that, but like, especially for, like, I just tried to watch Pulp Fiction like twice in my life, and I got through probably like the first half hour, and I'm just like, I don't see the appeal of this movie.
It's awful.
It's not that great. I don't see why people like it so much. It is so by everybody.
It's like the fifth, on IMDb, it's like number five.
Yeah.
It's like the fifth best movie ever, according to people. It's awful. And
you look at the cast, it looks like a good cast, but I cannot watch it. It's just not that good.
I've seen it once. I didn't get the whole, the whole chronological order thing. I didn't get that. I don't remember anything from the movie other than the weird dancing scene with Travolta and what's her face.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is in it at some point. I'm like, wait, why? It's weird.
And his movies always have those kind of weird moments. And like, I was so hyped for The Hateful Eight. Just, you know, the cast, the trailer was great. The music sounded great. And then I had to sit there and watch it for like 3.5 hours in theaters. And it was slowly everyone just being this horrible person and like just showing how bad, oh, and this guy's worse. Oh, I can top that. There's just no like, there's no levity. There's no happy. There's no humor. It's just like dark and then black and then space. I don't get it.
Do you like Django?
I enjoyed Django more than I enjoyed most of his other stuff. I still Django. Wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies, but I didn't hate it.
And Inglourious Basterds was good.
Yeah, I really like that.
Okay. All right, well, dude, that's not bad. I haven't seen Hateful Eight, but I'm all the way on the Pulp Fiction. That was actually my fourth one, so.
Okay.
I will hit you with number three. This is a movie that's been ranked on IMDb consistently in like the 10, 11, 12 range. The Matrix.
Ooh, I'm with you there.
I've seen it once. I heard Jeffrey hyped it up for, I'm telling you, all of high school. He swore by it. He said The Matrix is the best movie I've ever seen. Red pill, blue pill. How about no pill? I'll pass. It's just not good. Like, Lawrence Fishburne, like, why do you still have the gap in your teeth? Go back and teach Tequila how to spell. I liked you better in that movie. I just didn't get it. It wasn't exciting to me. The CGI was not good. Keanu Reeves, I like him in John Wick much better than in The Matrix. It's just,
oh yeah,
that's my stance on
I agree, and it's become such a staple in our pop culture. Like, you know, The Matrix, it's a great movie, foundation for so many things. And I didn't put this on there, but it's very similar to Ghostbusters. A lot of people like love Ghostbusters as like that, you know, kind of setting up the kind of sci-fi. And both of them are pretty bad. Like, you just go back and watch them, and they're like, gosh, this movie sucks.
Ghostbusters is so really bad. That's a really good one, TC.
Yeah. No, good pick. And that's the one a lot of people aren't going to make. Because it's The Matrix. You can't say that about The Matrix.
Yeah, it's off limits.
Okay, so I also picked one that's pretty off limits. My third one is Titanic.
Whoa! TC.
Now, I'll go ahead and say off the bat, I've probably seen this movie close to about 12 or 13 times.
Yeah.
And it has some really good moments, but it's still not that great.
Okay, I need an explanation.
Okay, all right. So I'll say what I like about it, and then say how everything I hate counterbalances that.
Okay.
Leo's performance is good.
Yep.
I like the whole kind of frame story. You know, she's old at the beginning. Telling the story about how they, you know, fell in love, blah, blah, blah. And I like the whole, like, him kind of pretending to be a richer guy for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the dancing scene with all the lower class people. That's pretty great.
Great scene.
I hate everything about her, Kate Winslet. She's pretty annoying and horrible. Okay, also everything, like showing what's happening outside of them while the Titanic's sinking is pretty great. Like all the other side characters.
Wow, TC, it sounds like you're describing the whole movie.
But, okay, so, like I said, I hate her, and she's a pretty big part of the movie.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. She's not especially likable.
No, I can't stand the guy she's married to,
yep,
I think. Is she married to him? Yeah, engaged to him. He's a jerk. Everything that happens after the Titanic starts to go down between them and the water, it's incredibly drawn out, doesn't make any sense. And it's become the source of many memes as time has passed. I also don't really like the music. And that's a big thing for a lot of people. I'm just not a fan.
Oh my gosh.
I know, and that's huge. I don't get it. Like, people want to say, oh my god, that Titanic ending song. I'm like, that's not my thing.
TC, you're talking about one of the greatest songs ever made.
Is it though?
Dude, one of the best singers of our generation.
Agreed.
Celine Dion.
Yes.
Her magnum opus in the biggest movie of 98 with the biggest director. That's one of the greatest songs ever made.
I don't see it. Like, I get it, but okay, so this movie is so amazing, so great. When's the last time you watched it?
I've probably seen it 10 or 12 times like you. Last time I saw it was probably year and a half ago.
Oh, really? See, I felt like it was that movie everyone watched for a good period of time and then just kind of quit once they got to about 10th grade. That was the last time I saw it. And then, I don't know, I just don't, like, I think it's one of those movies everyone says they really like, everyone says it's a really good movie, but no one really watches.
That's...
I don't know. I think it's overrated.
That's fair. I mean, I get your points. I get your points. I've always thought that if you make Kate Winslet, Kate Beckinsale in that movie, it's 10 times better.
There are way better choices for an actress than her. I don't know if it's because they wanted some redhead, but it could have gone any direction.
I mean, she's not that attractive. You put in an attractive girl there with a British accent? Jeez, dude. With Leo? Oh, jeez. It's way better. So.
Yeah.
Well, my fourth one was Pulp Fiction. So,
oh yeah, I stole it. Sorry. Okay, so I have one more, and then I'll throw out an alternate too.
Okay.
So fourth one, Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, TC, you're breaking my heart.
Oh, come on! This is another movie I just didn't get because I tried to watch it. It's got Leonardo, Margot Robbie. This movie is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
The whole movie is just him dealing with a drug addiction.
No, it's so much more than
that. Oh, come on. So much more than... Dude, all right. There's maybe, like, two scenes that don't involve him doing some sort of drug.
He doesn't get on the Quaaludes until about halfway through the movie.
But that... See, it doesn't feel like that, though. I feel like the majority of the movie is spent with him, you know, building the company to the end of the company, and everything in between is just one long high.
That, I guess that's an accurate description. I mean, I can't argue
and
with that.
The, there are certain scenes that stand out, and because I saw this movie once, and I just hated it. And the scenes I remember the most are, and what I liked was him, you know, teaching the guys how to sell when they first started off.
Yeah, that's a good scene.
Great, that's a good scene. The weird scene where they're snorting cocaine through the strippers.
Yep, the first scene.
Was that the first scene? Okay. Yeah. The scene where him and Matthew McConaughey are, like, beating on the chest.
That's a scene I've watched on YouTube probably 50 times. It is so good. That might be my, like, you take McConaughey's career, you take out Interstellar, because that's in its own different category, and you say, what's the best 5 minutes of McConaughey's career? That's it.
Oh, I'll throw that in there. and then the scene where they're in the office having that giant, like, party
with the midget.
Yeah, I just wasn't my type of movie. And Ian was like trying to get me to watch this movie for about 2 weeks straight. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to like it. And he made me sit down and watch it. And I was like, yeah, I really didn't like it.
That is so stereotypically Ian's type of movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I'm not shocked that you didn't like it. I mean, it's very raunchy. And Jonah Hill is out there slinging his thing around. It's crazy. It's a crazy movie. I loved it, dude. I loved it. Every time I watch it, it's kind of like a little roller coaster. Like, oh, this is crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And my last alternate, and this is where it was hard to draw the line between, is this just overrated or is this just a movie that I don't like that everyone else does?
Okay.
Sicario.
I've never seen it.
You haven't seen it? Mm-mm. Okay. So it's got Emily Blunt. Gosh, the guy that played the traitor spy.
Yeah, it's
Last Jedi. Del Toro. I can't remember his name. Yeah, Benicio del Toro. And the acting was phenomenal. And objectively, I can say it was a really good movie. I just hated it. And it was like the whole thing was just leading up to nothing. Like, I think Nick saw it, and I think Nick actually really liked it. So
yeah, he did.
I don't know if I should watch it. Yeah. Yeah, so it is, like, objectively a good movie. I just, it was really, really, really depressing. And, like, okay. Nothing good happens at the end. Emily Blunt doesn't win. And I just hated it. Okay. I don't know.
I have to watch that. Or maybe I won't now. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they just made the sequel. I don't know what the sequel is. Like, it's about Belton Benicio again, so.
That's the one where he's in the commercial with the gun. He's like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, with his
finger. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I'll have to check it out. But all right, dude. Great episode. You got anything else?
No, I think I'm good. Wait, yeah, so Fortnite tomorrow.
Fortnite tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to go to bed probably here in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I am exhausted. I'm so tired.
Yeah, yeah. Get some sleep, heal up, get rid of the congestion, and I will be on tomorrow. What's tomorrow, Wednesday?
Yeah, I'll be on like – I can be on like 9:30-ish my time.
Okay, so Survivor's on 8 your time. I'll be free after that. So
yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, even just a couple of games, I'm totally down. I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, let's do it, dude. I'm gonna be so rusty. You're gonna have to carry me, but dude, Arnav's been singing your praises about how good you are.
Dude, I'm really not. I spent like. Oh, I was so bad yesterday, but I love playing with Arnav and Ashwin. That was great.
Ashwin's
good. I can't wait to throw you in there. We'll have a full squad going. It's going to be amazing.
Dude, it's funny because Ashwin's probably the best person I've played with, but I haven't played with you yet. And Arnav is the best teammate. Like, Arnav on your team, he's like glue. He's constantly giving people ammo, making sure everyone's situated. He's communicating so well. He's like, hey, we got bogeys, northwest, left or right, 320. It's like, oh, dude, you're a beast.
It reminded me to reload my guns. I didn't have my guns reloaded. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
I would have forgotten.
He's such a great teammate. So, but all right, dude, sounds good. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, and we will see you guys next week.
Adios.